Page 355. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we say together the Gloria found on the top of page 356. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, our heavenly name, almighty God, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of God, Lord God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Keep, O Lord, your household, the church, in your steadfast faith and love, that through your grace we may proclaim your truth with boldness and minister your justice with compassion. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for greetings. The first reading is from 1 Samuel 15:34. Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah. Saul did not see Saul again until the day of his death. Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death. But Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord was sorry that he had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him for being king over Israel. Fill him horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears that he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you. Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, did you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on them and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Jammah pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Samuel said to Jesse, Are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, rise and anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 20 can be found in the insert of your bulletin. Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble.
May you, the God of Jacob, defend you.
Send you help from his holy place.
And strengthen you out of Zion.
Remember all of your offerings.
And accept your mercy and sacrifice.
Grant you your heart's desire.
And prosper all your plans.
We will shout for joy at your victory and triumph in the name of our God.
May the Lord grant all your requests.
Now I know that the Lord gives victory to his anointed.
He will answer him out of his holy heaven with the victorious strength of his right hand.
Some put their trust in chariots and some in horses.
But we will call upon the name of the Lord our God.
They collapse and fall down.
But we will rise and stand upright.
O Lord, give victory to the king.
And answer us when we call.
The second reading is taken from 2 Corinthians 5. We are always confident. Even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I think I've mentioned it before that I often wonder who came up with the idea to make a chocolate cake, like the very first recipe. And I think almost every culture started with you took some kind of grain and mashed it up, made flour out of it, mixed water with it, and then cooked it on a hot rock or something so that you had flatbreads. But at some point, they took honey or they said, oh, this is sugar. How they decided that, who knows? Let's mix it in with the bread, see how it tastes. That's good. And then somehow discovered that those cocoa beans made chocolate and said, let's put that in there too. And maybe an egg and some milk. I don't know how they came up with it and put all those ingredients from wherever together, but boy, I'm glad they did. Over the last week, I also oddly have been thinking about these things pop in my head, I can't help it, about the earthquake retrofitting at City Hall in San Francisco. So years ago, I took a tour there, and of course, earthquake retrofitting happens. They put steel rebar down into the ground and up, they put pilings and they do all sorts of things to keep the buildings solid and safe when an earthquake comes. Because we know in countries that don't have those materials, that literally use rocks and mortar, when an earthquake comes, it turns to rubble. Well, City Hall, and I think it came from Japan, I don't remember exactly, it looks like a giant tire set on its edge. Stacked up. They're kind of like giant shock absorbers, like huge, filling the basement. And then they dug this 3-foot moat around City Hall so that when an earthquake comes, the building dances with the waves rather than shaking. Who came up with that idea? I have no idea. But it's these things that happen throughout history that we come up with this new recipe, we come up with this new blueprint, we come up with this new plan. And I think that's what God has been doing with us since the beginning of creation. We know that he created Adam and Eve and they messed up, so he said, that's it, you're out of the garden. He sent Abram, we have generations, and then the people turned away, and so God sent flood. And then said, I'm never going to do that again, come up with a new plan. And so he anointed Moses, chose Moses to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land, gave the people the Ten Commandments, gave the people the 618 Levitical laws that overruled the moral and civil and ceremonial practices of this group of people. God sent generation after generation of prophets. And did the people listen? Maybe for a minute or two. God had this plan, but people weren't listening. So last week we heard that the people went to Samuel, the prophet, and said, we want a king like other nations. And Samuel said, that's just not a good idea. And God said, don't think they're rejecting you. They are rejecting me. Give them a king.
And Saul did okay to start with, but then kind of went off the rails. And so today we hear the story of David being anointed. God tells Samuel to go to Jesse the Bethlehemite to take a sacrifice and to take the oil to anoint the next king, the king to be. And so Samuel, in great fear, goes to Jesse the Bethlehemite and says, "Let's have a feast, line up your sons." And Samuel thinks it's the oldest son who is brawny and, you know, perfect. And God says, "No, it's not him." And Samuel goes down the line. Seven sons, none of them chosen by God. And so Samuel says, "Do you have any other sons?" "Well, David, he's the shepherd. He's the kid. He's out in the field. We'll send for him." And he said, "He had beautiful eyes. He was just a young lad, but ruddy of complexion." And God said, "This is the one." And God anointed him. And what we know of the life of David is that although he was human and made some mistakes, he also was devoted to God through his entire life, devoted to God. And when he messed up, he turned to God and asked forgiveness. But at the end of his life, his son appointed himself as the next leader. And so the pattern continued of God appointing, and then the people mess up. Prophets, priests, and kings for century after century, spreading the good news, telling people how to live, encouraging them to turn to God, and they said, "Whatever." And so God came up with a totally new blueprint, a totally new plan. And he sent his son. And what we know is he sent his son on the Virgin Mary, a young woman, in this backwater town of Bethlehem. And he appointed him the Messiah, the Son of God, the anointed one. But he did not come to tell us what the law was. Instead, he called disciples. And he started healing and teaching and preaching and exorcising demons. Crowds gathered around him, and last week we heard his mother was a little concerned about him. They heard he had gone insane. And they go to this large crowd and they send somebody and they said, "Jesus, your mother and brother are here." And he said, "Who are my mother and brother?" "It's those who do the will of God. You right here. You are my mother and brother and sister. You who do the will of God." He was calling and anointing, calling and sending, inviting us into that big plan. No longer appointing somebody who's going to tell us what to do, but telling us, showing us, helping us, giving us the power to do the work to build the kingdom of God. And so he taught in parables. Parables are stories, of course, that have a truth, and maybe the truth in the parable is easier to hear than if we just do the flat-out truth. And parables are different than fables. They don't have rocks or animals that are animated or talking. It's about real-life people with real-life issues. And so he tells two stories today. He starts with the farmer sows the seeds. And he just sows seeds everywhere. And night and day and night and day, he sleeps and he watches, first the head, then the stalk, then the grain. And it says that he does not know how. It comes of the earth, not of the farmer. He does not know how, but when the harvest comes, he knows it's time. And then a second parable, if you take the smallest seed, if you take the mustard seed and plant it in the ground, it will grow a great bush, and then great limbs where all the birds will come to it. And what that means is all the nations will come to it, come to that strength, come to that place. And what we hear in other places, if you have the faith of the size of a mustard seed, you'll move mountains. All we need is a tiny little bit of that faith. And we can plant those seeds wherever, whenever, however. And that's the invitation, that's the hope, that's the joy, that's the promise of the kingdom of God, that we pray, our Father who art in heaven, on earth as in heaven, build the kingdom of God with those little seeds. And maybe we say, well, I don't have the seeds, or I don't know what the seeds are, or I don't know how to use the seeds, I don't know what you're talking about. But the reading in 2 Corinthians today, so it says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. If you are in Christ, it's already happening, the new kingdom, the new creation. And I know that we have been baptized in Christ. We have received the Holy Spirit, and you have been made new. You have the seeds. You have the recipe. You have the blueprint. You are given everything you need. Now, what I know is if you talk to people about chocolate cake, everybody has their favorite recipe. It might be grandma's recipe. It might be the recipe of your favorite friend from church when you were a kid. And you know, it started out with basic chocolate cake, and then there's flourless chocolate torts, and there's red velvet cake, and there's black forest cake, and there's marble butt cake, and nowadays it's salted caramel chocolate cake. We each play around with the recipe a little bit. We have the basic recipe, and we're called to figure out what that little change of ingredients is for us, so that we can just spread the seeds and watch them grow. We don't know how the kingdom of God grows, but it says if you plant just one little seed of that faith, it's going to grow into this mighty bush with limbs that welcomes everybody. You were given the seeds. Now it's your turn to go and plant them. Amen. I invite you into a minute of silent reflection. I invite you to stand as you are able and join me in affirming your faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, which are found on page 358 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 358. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world.
world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the People can be found on Form 3, page 387 of the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 387. Father, we pray for your Holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Lynn and Gary, our priests.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will and all that we undertake.
And our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We pray for Jeanette, Seth, Bradley, Chris, Gail, Kimberly J., Don M., Jim L., Ray, Amanda and Billy, Bob R., Vine, Carson, Ann, Laura, Ashlyn, Betty, Jerry, Julian, Ben, Cheryl, Jean, Brian, Cheryl, Douglas, Richard, Kathy, Lindsay, Tammy S., John Muriel, Heather, Andy, Jim, and Marietta, Colleen, Steve, the food pantry, students and teachers, first responders, those suffering from addiction, those in the military, and those who mourn.
For Anne, for Danella, and for Anne. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor as found on page 360 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 360. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by all you have done, and by all you have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit to keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. I just have one quick announcement. The vestry will meet on this Wednesday. If you are a vestry member, please look for the email with the agenda and minutes and financials. If you're not a vestry member, I invite you to pray for us as we make decisions for this community. Are there other announcements? Walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and he said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection on your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us eat the feast. Alleluia.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. All are invited to receive at God's table. I invite you to come up the center aisle to purify your hands. I'll give you the host. I invite you to go back down the side aisles and then consume it while you're in your seat. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Christ, the bread of heaven. Post communion prayer is found on page 365 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.